Greeting, my Kardec radio friends, from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here to take you on another audio journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today's travels will take us through incarnation on different worlds, addressing questions from 182 to 188.
Enjoy.
Question 182. Can we accurately know the physical and moral state of different worlds?
We, the spirits, can only reply to you according to your degree of evolution. This means we must not reveal these things to everybody, because not all are in the same position to comprehend them. Hence, such revelations would be troubling to them.
Author's remarks for question 182. As spirits purify themselves, the bodies that clothe them also approach the spirit nature. This matter becomes less dense, and they no longer painfully drag themselves around on the ground. The needs of their physical bodies are less coarse, and they no longer have to destroy other living beings in order to feed themselves. They are freer and have a perception unknown to us, which enables them to see things far away. In other words, they can see things through the eyes of their body that we can see only through thought. The purification of spirits is reflected in the moral perfection of the beings in which they are incarnated. The animal passions become weaker, and selfishness gives way to a fraternal sentiment. It is thus that on worlds more highly evolved than our own, wars are unknown, and there are no motives for hatred and discord, because no one would dream of harming a fellow being. Their intuition concerning the future, which is the surety that a conscience void of remorse gives them, makes death no longer a cause for apprehension. Instead, they look upon it without fear and as a simple transformation. The lifespan on different worlds appears to be proportionate to the spirit's degree of moral and physical advancement, and this is perfectly logical. The less material the body is, the less it is subject to the torments that disorganize it. The purer the spirit is, the less it is subject to the passions that undermine it. This is a further design of Providence, who desires for suffering to be shortened as much as possible. Question 183. In passing from one world to another, must the spirit experience a new childhood?
Childhood is a necessary transition on all worlds, but it is not always as abstruse as it is on yours.
Question 184. Can spirits choose the new world they will inhabit?
Not always, but they may ask for and receive what they desire if they deserve it, because spirits only have access to worlds according to their degree of purification.
Subquestion 184A. If a spirit doesn't make a request, what determines the world on which it will reincarnate?
Its degree of purification.
Question 185. Is the physical and moral state of beings on each globe perpetually the same?
No, all worlds are subject to the law of progress. All begin like yours in an inferior state. However, the earth will undergo a transformation. It will become a terrestrial paradise when all humankind chooses good over evil.
Author's remarks for question 185. Thus, the race that populates the earth today will disappear someday and will be replaced gradually by more highly evolved beings. Such races will succeed the current one, just as the current one succeeded others that were even less evolved. Question 186. Are there worlds on which the spirit no longer lives in a material body and only has the perispirit as its envelope?
Yes, and that envelope becomes so etherealized that to you it is as if it did not exist at all. This is the state of pure spirits.
Subquestion 186A. So, based on this premise, it would seem that there is no precise line separating the state of the final incarnations and that of a pure spirit.
There is no such line. The difference diminishes little by little, finally becoming imperceptible, like the night fading away at the first light of day.
Question 187. Is the perispirit's substance the same on all globes?
No, it is more etherealized on some than on others. When it goes from one world to another, a spirit clothes itself with the matter proper for each world at a speed faster than lightning.
Question 188. Do pure spirits inhabit special worlds, or do they inhabit universal space without being attached to any particular globe?
Pure spirits inhabit certain worlds, but they are not confined to them as people are to the earth. They are much better than all others at being ubiquitous.
Footnote to ubiquitous. According to some spirits, of all the globes that comprise our solar system, the Earth is the one of those whose inhabitants are the least physically and morally advanced. Mars, as a planet per se, is even less advanced, whereas Jupiter is far superior in every respect. The Sun is not inhabited by corporeal beings, but is a meeting place for high-order spirits who radiate their thought from there to other worlds, which they govern with the aid of low-order spirits by communicating with them through the universal fluid. Regarding its physical constitution, the Sun could be a focus of electricity. It appears that all suns operate in the same way. Size and distance from the Sun has no necessary bearing on the degree of the other planets' development, because it appears that Venus is more evolved than Earth and Saturn less so than Jupiter. Many spirits who have animated well-known personalities on Earth are said to have reincarnated on Jupiter, one of the worlds nearest to perfection. It is surprising that on a globe so advanced, persons may be found who might not have been considered so very evolved when they lived on the Earth. However, this is not so astonishing if you consider the possibility that certain spirits who inhabit that planet could have been sent to the Earth to fulfill missions that did not place them in very prominent positions, at least by earthly standards. Second, between their earthly existence and their life on Jupiter, they may have had intermediate ones in which they evolve further. Third, on that world, as on this one, there are different degrees of development, and between those degrees, there may be as much difference as that separating the primitive from the civilized individual on the Earth. Thus, the fact that they inhabit Jupiter does not mean that they are at the level of the most evolved beings, in the same way that all persons are not on the same level as scholars at the Institute simply because they happen to live in Paris. The conditions of longevity are not everywhere the same as they are on Earth. Thus, an age-based comparison is not possible. A person who had died some years ago was evoked through a medium and stated that he had reincarnated just 6 months ago on a world whose name he withheld from us. When questioned about his age there, he replied, "I cannot calculate it because we do not count time like you. Moreover, our way of life is not the same. We develop much more quickly, so much so that it has been only 6 of your months since I came here. But I must say that in regards to intelligence, I am already about 30 Earth years old." Many similar replies have been given by other spirits, and these statements contain nothing implausible. After all, don't we see animals on the Earth that reach full maturity in only a few months? Why shouldn't it be the same with human beings on other spheres? On the other hand, notice that the development acquired by a 30-year-old person on the Earth may be only a type of infancy in comparison with what he or she could reach elsewhere. We would have to be very short-sighted to consider ourselves the prototypes of creation, and it would be demeaning to the divinity to believe that nothing else could have been created besides us.